everybody. Welcome, welcome. It's Joanna. I'm so happy to be here with all of you. We've got a clinic call today. Yay! I love clinic calls. So I'm excited to jump in. But before we do, I just want to remind everybody, if you have been through Sacred Depths or are in Sacred Depths, and I posted about this in the different Facebook groups, you've got an opportunity for a bonus listening practicum. You really want to encourage you to come. I always, even though I lead the listening practicums, I always, even for myself, learn so much and go deeper into my own skill set in those practicums. They're really, really powerful. So I want to invite you, and please, please come to the listening practicum that I'm holding next Monday from 1 to 2:30 p.m. Eastern on this line. It's for the Catalyzing Breakthroughs course, but I just wanted to open it up to you guys as well. So make a note of that. Okay, that being said, let's jump in. So, you know, as a reminder, these clinic calls are our sacred space and sacred container to bring forward any questions that you might have related to your coaching, related to your groups and programs, related to the work that you're doing with clients and with students. So this is a great opportunity to bring forward any case studies with a client that you want to take a deeper look at. This is a great opportunity to bring forward, if you feel kind of stuck with a client or not totally sure where to go with a client or just want some validation or brainstorming ideas on where to take them. It's a great opportunity to bring forward a question about curriculum for one of your groups or an issue that you see is coming up with one of your groups. It's a great opportunity to bring forward questions on your enrollment conversation processes. There's so much coaching that happens through the enrollment conversation process in order for it to be effective. It's a great opportunity to bring forward any inner issues or blocks or questions that you have to get coaching on that as well. Don't feel shy about raising your hand or worry that it won't be applicable to everybody else. As you know, I always like to say, everybody please activate the law of adaptation. Even if somebody is bringing something forward that at first doesn't seem to apply to you, I promise you we are all here together on this call today. If you showed up, you are here for a sacred reason and for everybody to learn from each other. So to really take a look at how it applies for you. So all that being said, star 2 to bring forward a question. Leah.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Sorry. So this is a follow-up to the email I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this works, but for this call. But basically, I'm wondering if I should be in a deeper level of inquiry around what's going on. And basically, for everyone else on the call, I'm kind of falling out of love with coaching or just not having the same kind of love for it right now. And I think that's because there's other stuff on the horizon. I don't think coaching's going anywhere. I think it's just finding a new avenue. But I'm also trying to be really cognizant of, like, my stuff around it, like what's, like, is there other stuff underneath this, or is this really that, like, I've unlocked a new aspect of my work, and now I need to reshuffle everything around. And so part of where I've been in inquiry is like with my existing clients, looking at like, okay, after the call, what did I like about that? What didn't I like about that? What did I feel was missing? Mm-hmm. 'Cause I have kind of like a set of ideal clients right now, and there still feels like there's stuff that's missing. And yeah. So that's where I'm trying to like, be like, okay, what do I need to be tweaking or adding or whatever else? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. So first of all, I love the assessments that you're already doing, right? Like what was working, what was missing. And I think it's, I think that that's really valuable, and I want to encourage you to continue to do that, because I do think that you're going to get really, not from every assessment, but overall, I think you're going to start getting some important information there. So definitely continue to do that. And what I would say is do it, you can tell me if this perspective resonates for you. It's kind of my perspective and my take. I don't like, it's ironic to say, but I actually don't like the term coaching because I think it's restrictive, and I think it creates a box around things and it can make things narrow. I use it because it's easily recognizable in the field, in the industry. But the truth is when I'm working with my clients and I'm working with my groups, I'm allowing for more spaciousness for whatever wants to come in. Mm-hmm. And for everybody, it's different. Like you have different talents than I do. So like, yes, there is coaching, but then there is ritual. There is somatic pieces. There is intuitive, channeling, right? Like whatever it's going to be. And so the reason why I'm tossing this to you is that, I think sometimes it can feel, I don't know what the word is, maybe overwhelming to think about, okay, so I'm leaving all this behind and now I'm doing this new thing. Sometimes it's overwhelming and for some people it's like the shiny new object. And it may be either way, it may be more helpful and constructive for you to think about like what is your next evolution, and whether you use the term coaching or not, like I think there's so much from the work that you have been doing that you're gonna move forward with you. There's some pieces that you'll leave behind, and then you're going to add to that. I don't know if I articulated that well. You can tell me what you're hearing and what's landing for you.
Yeah, I mean, I totally hear you on, like, I don't like the word coaching either, but it's just something that people can wrap their heads around. Mm-hmm. What came up for me is like, is it the format that I'm falling out of love with, or is it that has something missing, or is it the types of things that I'm working on with people?
Yeah. Content. Yep.
A big thing that's kind of shifting for me, which obviously I've told you about as well, is like what types of problems that I want to actually help people solve.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of what's, I guess I'll just say it, part of what's changing is kind of like really taking a different perspective in the sense of like I'm kind of detaching from 3D reality, to not go all the way, but I'm going all the way, of like, we created this world to go through whatever obstacle courses we needed as souls. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the problems that I used to think were like dire and mattered they don't hold the same urgency or pull for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there's this question where it's like, well, if I'm not as like thrilled by these problems, like what am I doing this work for?
I totally hear you. Yeah, so I think, I mean, what comes to mind is two things for this.
Mm-hmm.
So one is to add this to your assessments of each session, like in addition to like whatever you're, you know, using or, you know, wish was there or whatever, look at it topically also. Like, it was satisfying to speak about this and this, or how it may not be speaking, whatever it is. It was not satisfying or doesn't feel in my mission to touch on this and this. And if I had my druthers and this client were completely open, I would have loved to explore this and this. And that will help you get more clear. And then with that clarity, like, you can, whatever ends up in the druthers, you know, answer, you'll start to integrate that into your marketing and call to that person. And then the second thing that I think is related to this, so I have had one client in the past in particular that comes to mind as you were just talking about, like, the releasing the 3D reality, and she was, like, cosmic. I mean, she really was, like, I don't think she should have been incarnated on this earth. Like, her perception and, like, it's just cosmic, you know? And those were the things she worked with. And so, like, for her, she really had to call out to a very particular ideal client who was at a certain level of evolution and could speak her language and who was interested in these cosmic ideas that she was really here to share. And so I sense that you don't have clarity on this yet, but I think as you do these assessments and just embrace more what you're talking about right now, that will come into more focus. And then it's like, I think it is a smaller sliver of people out there who are at that place. And I do think it's like, in terms of marketing, you know, because people buy based on what they think they really need, right? So just once you detach from the 3D reality, like, you have to make, right, the case for, like, this is what's needed, but it's all doable. But I think this is about kind of getting more clear on, like, who is that person that wants to have these other types of conversations and explorations.
Mm-hmm.
How did that land?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm just, it lands, and I'm also just in it.
Yeah. You're in the process. Mm-hmm. In the celebrant retreat that I led a few weeks ago, this term, I think I was mentioning this on another call, but I just love this, like, this term, legitimate process came up, and I love it, and I think that's where you're at right now. Like, you're inside of a legitimate process. Don't rush it, and I know you're not. You're giving it space. Like let it emerge.
Mm-hmm. I guess the last piece to this, and then you can obviously shut me down, but like, I'm definitely going through a massive death and rebirth cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, I've been trying to, like, do ritual, or I have some rituals planned to do around it, and just be in, like, conversation with myself, but I don't know if you have any other things that come to mind that might help move through the process.
Yeah. So I don't want to rush it, because I you can tell me if you agree, but my intuitive sense is, like, I don't think you're at the, like, ultimate release part of the process yet. I think you had a little more of the journey to go
mm-hmm.
in it. Does that resonate?
Kind of. I mean, I think part of it is, in one way, I can't fully, and this is, doesn't feel like the way the process works, but this is what is in my system. It's like I can't fully release what has happened or what I can't fully release this version of myself or my business or whatever it's going to be without kind of having some idea of whatever the hell is next, which doesn't feel like the way it's supposed to go, but.
No. I think that's okay. Like, don't judge it, right?
Yeah.
It's your risk manager, and we all need risk managers to be alive and well inside of us, and that's how yours is expressing itself right now. So I would just say, like, honor that, and if that's the impulse, continue to focus on the vision, as you have been and as we've been talking about in this conversation, but also continue to check in to see what's ready to be released and what's ready to be released and what's ready to be released. But don't need to have it look, the process look, any particular way. And then the other thing I'll say, you know, in the spirit of making the coaching, the definition of coaching bigger or better word than coaching, you know, I love the intellectual level of learning and processing. And sometimes with release, it's like, yes, we need to name the things, but sometimes we can also release things and not actually name them or know exactly what. And I think for you in particular, just like who you are and how you operate, that's probably a dimension for you. So be open to the things that you can name that you're letting go, but then just be open to experiences where you get to release, even if you don't know what you're releasing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Cool.
You know, and sometimes that's about body work, and sometimes that's about ceremony, and sometimes that's about crying, and, you know, whatever it is, all the different ways, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Good.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Tara.
Hi, Joanna.
Hey.
I have a few things. I will try to bottom line them. You just let me know when we need to stop. I'll just dive in here. So the first one is, I have a client who just finished Women on Purpose. She had a lot of really big successes. She filled out an evaluation for the program and what she wanted, and it included some of what she wanted to create next year. And one of the things that stood out was she was saying that she really wanted to focus on creating this healing academy of online courses. And she's wondering, you know, should I do the program again or should I really focus in on this academy thing that she's always wanted to create? And I'm definitely not an expert in creating online academies. So I'm just wondering, like, what your thoughts are about how to approach this. Because I feel like she still has a business that she's developing. I mean, this is an aspect of it, and she's grown her email list now. She's tripled it almost through our work together, so she could do something like that, but it's definitely not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Good. So first, let's
she wants to do
on,
like, a platform type
mm-hmm.
thing. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Got
not
it.
Just like trainings. I've done those.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so first, let's just focus on her existing business, which you're saying, like, she's
mm-hmm.
she is continuing to work on and build. She's not letting that go. So
mm-hmm.
how will Women on Purpose, continuing with Women on Purpose, how will it help her in her business?
Well, I definitely think she had really good results with her launch. So I think any launch she does, it would support her with that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she was very consistent with, like, showing up for, you know, co-working and getting things done. So I think it would support her with having accountability structures. Mm-hmm. She really did well with the group aspect of the program. She had a really great accountability trio. They're super close, and it has helped her step into more visibility and get over some blocks she had. She also created a signature program and a signature talk around it and delivered that online. So I imagine no matter what she does, there will probably be some of, you know, that would be part of her online program.
Yeah,
for sure. And she wants to do another summit. I could definitely support her with that.
Awesome. So what I'm hearing is if she continues with Women on Purpose for her business, it will help her create more visibility, have more of a following, have more successful launches, and help her be even more persistent and consistent in all the actions that she's taking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So that is a value in and of itself, right? But then let's just take that a step further. How will all of those things that we just mentioned in her business support her to get this online platform going and successful?
Well, whatever the process is, I mean, I'm sure it'll support her with breaking it down, figuring out what are manageable steps, because she has, you know, she has an acupuncture practice, and she also has an online business that's more nutritional health coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So she struggles a lot with feeling like she's spreading herself too thin. So I feel like this would be a way for her to be consistently in action with creating the platform, you know, researching what she needs to, finding the support, and having some accountability.
Yeah, and being in right relationship with the amount of energy that she's expending. The other thing I'm really hearing is that building her business, bringing more visibility to her business is going to translate into more visibility when she's ready to launch the platform, because the more people in front of her are more people in front of her, right?
Right.
And then the other thing is she needs to be taken care of financially in order to not approach the academy from a place of scarcity or fear.
Definitely.
And then even though you're not an expert at putting together platforms, she's going to go deeper into her messaging skills. She's going to, you know, like there's certain into her branding, like there are things that she's getting from Women on Purpose that are translatable into the academy as well. Is that helpful?
It is. That brings up my second fear, though, which is that I worry that some of this will be redundant. You know, like some of the pieces that I did this year that I thought were important, I would repeat.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad that you're bringing this up, because it's something I had wanted to talk to you about. So in some, like, in there are some scenarios where things are redundant when someone continues on in a program. But most of the time, people don't master what they learn after the first go. Most of the time, people need integration, like a deeper level of integration, to get the more masterful skills to use them. So just like at the beginning of this call where I was like inviting everybody, you know, who's already done the listening modules of Sacred Depths to do more, you know, the practicum on Monday, and saying like I learned from it, it's the same idea, right? If it's a concept that has layers and depth, if it's not a one-liner, which none of your concepts are, they're just not a once and done, and most people really do need integration. I'm a big believer, and this is just my opinion, but I'm a big believer in introducing less new material and instead going deeper with the material that's being introduced. So not everybody that's been through Women on Purpose is going to go for that, but I think it's important for you to articulate it to them and explain the value in it, and then give your own examples. Like, you are even teaching them messaging, but I have seen you over time continue to come back to your own learning around messaging and going deeper and deeper with that, or branding, or you know, whatever it is.
Okay. Thank you. That's super helpful. I feel good with her. This one is a little bit more dicey and complex. So I have this woman who signed up for coaching, and I feel like I didn't fully know a lot of pieces of her background that could potentially, at the very least, be challenges to be overcome. She's into shamanic healing and is definitely really, really passionate about that, and has skills and training. And she lives in a very, very low income area in Tennessee. And I have some concerns like around her finding a way to connect with prospects. I actually, and she, you know, herself is pretty low income, works in a restaurant. You know, I learned that she's done some time, and I feel like, so like her, some other people might be able to just have a side gig as they grow their business, but it's like she's not having one that's going to make that much money. And I gifted her the summit training, but I can tell that she's a little overwhelmed by some of it. And, you know, like to me, that's the way that I know how to build your list so you're not geographically dependent on people. But I feel like the execution of that and the fact that there's at least some cost for, you know, a VA, like I would never recommend somebody just do it themselves, DIY it. So I feel like that's getting in the way. So I'm just a little concerned about her and what is the best way to support her given some of these variables.
Yeah, two thoughts come to mind, and this may be a longer conversation, but I'll just give you two thoughts that come to mind right now. So one is, can she do a summit or a series of summits that are on a smaller scale that don't need a VA, like an interview series with three people, and do that twice a year or three times a year? I think that's manageable. On the admin end of things, it won't bring in as many people at a time necessarily, but it's a way to move toward building her community and for you to be transparent about that, right? But we always have to coach the what based on the who, and taking into consideration all the things she's got going on, like that may be the aligned path for right now until she has the resources to hire a VA. So how can you modify the idea of the summit to make it work for her? So that's one piece. And then the other piece is, I don't know how far away she is from a major city, but if it's not, you know, like extremely far, is she willing to travel? It may not be consistently, depending on how far it is, but for networking meetings.
It's like 3 hours, because I did ask her about that.
Yeah. So it might be that, you know, once every other month she makes a trek. I know I'm making this up, like, you know, because I don't know who she is, but just as an example, to do networking or to, you know, like if she's working to get a speaking gig somewhere, studio, you know, whatever it is. And so it's not an every week thing, or maybe even an every month thing. Maybe it's a quarterly thing, or, you know, whatever it is, but where, you know, how can she? And then, you know, back again, and this is important for this case study and for everybody listening, like whoever you're working with and whatever you're working on with them, you know, we always want to be transparent, right, about what we think is possible given the circumstances, right? So that you set up, not that it sounds negative or it's depressing, but that so that you set up the adequate expectations so she can feel the wins and not feel like they're not enough.
Yeah, and I did say it might be a slower process given, you know, where she's living and, you know, some of the other variables. I haven't seen people do really well when they did like 3 interviews and whatnot for a series. Like I do a mini summit of like 12, but I don't know. I've pulled a lot of people who do that, and it doesn't seem to be a really great way to build the list. So I'm just not totally sure about that strategy, but it's better than something.
This is more your area, like you've got more of the data on that, but if that's the case, is it like 5 or 6? I feel like 5 or 6 could still be manageable if she had like templates and systems and that kind of thing, and gave herself enough time.
I think you're right. I think something like that could work and would be appropriate based on who she is and her not getting overwhelmed. Okay.
Okay.
That's really good. I'll stop there. This has been super helpful.
Awesome. You're welcome. All right. Dana. I'm so glad you're raising your hand, Dana, because I know at the beginning of the week, you were like, I am ready for the 5-day challenge. I'm going to do stuff. And then I didn't see you, and so I was going to reach out to you. You weren't going to come on to this call. So yay!
Yay! Yeah, I've definitely been in it. And I had 2 things that I wanted to bring, but I think I'm going to bring the other thing. But I'm definitely in process with that, and I'm trying to just relaunch my, like, the 6-week jumpstart program that I've been doing. And I want to do it as a support group, like a meditation, spiritual practice support group around like the winter season and the eclipse season coming up. Holding some hands, getting people to do the inner work that they tend to ignore during this season, but so important. So
let's see a draft letter in the Facebook group. Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm still working on like just getting up my like sales page link and stuff like that. But it's all happening. It's all going to happen this week because I have like my launch date and all that. But the thing that I want to talk about is, I did kind of a jump start. You know, I had the curriculum I was working on together as sort of like, you know, my first offerings that I'm putting out there was like the 6 to 8 week thing. And the second launch is a version of that, but just more themed around the season. So the women that were in my first round of the 6 week, 2 of the 3, it's funny, I was like, I wanted to pitch them into like my next program, the 3 month that I wanted to create and all this stuff. And then I was just like, oh my God, I haven't had time to like sit down and figure out what this is. And then both of them wanted to continue working together. So the first, like they asked me like, okay,
can we just pause there for a moment, Dana, and celebrate that? Like 2 out of the 3 people asked you how to continue working. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah. So I'm kind of like, this is big for me to like just keep taking the steps and not putting the brakes on. So I'm just kind of like, all right, this is being divinely guided. The things that came up for me around this, because it ties into kind of like where I'm going with this, is like, it was so cheap, my beta offering, that I'm like, oh, maybe they just want to work with me, because pretty much they were paying like $40 a session. And I'm like, of course they want to keep working. So I did raise the price. I was like, yes, absolutely. I said, it's just going to be more than the beta. So I put it out to the one girl said, yes, she signed on. It's still relatively inexpensive. It feels like my next level pricing that feels aligned. And eventually to get to my real numbers that I need to make, I will need to raise it. But for now, it feels good for this first batch of people. Because now I'm kind of brought them into this like 3-month program. And the problem I'm finding is, and we talked about this, if you remember, when I was like signing up to do Sacred Depths, was like this fear of not being able to take people deeper and get them to like a transformational result versus like a single breakthrough. Because I can do a lot of single breakthrough. I work with the I Ching, you know, which is a beautiful intuitive tool that helps people get breakthrough in a session. But I've always struggled with taking them deeper and like continuing the progress. Which is funny. It's probably a theme I have in my own life. And I know we can only take people as far as we've gone. So now I had the first session on this 3-month program, and I'm already feeling, and this has happened to me in the past, where it's like, how do you make sure you're going deeper and getting people from like, you know, like to their desire, to their, like getting people to a goal, instead of just kind of like cycling and circling during the calls, which can tend to happen for me, that it's like, we're kind of like delving into something on a call, but then over the course of a longer period, I just want to assure that I'm taking them deeper. So this is kind of really vague. And so it's hard for me to get
specific, because I did, I mean, basically we just had our first call, and if the other one signs up, that will be doing the first call of the 3 months. So I know I have time. But I just feel like, cause I haven't mapped out my curriculum of this 3 months, because it's just all happening so quick. And with the day job, I don't have a lot of time to like vision into it. So this is where I'm hitting up against the edges.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. So, it's such a good question, and it does have to do with curriculum, or another way, if it, you know, of putting curriculum is like the bridge, or the brilliant space system, or just the overarching strategy, right? I'm just giving lots of names, not just for you, but for anyone else listening and taking this in. So what I mean by that is, whenever I'm working with a client, I know what their ultimate goals are, and I know, of course, everything is always subject to change, especially in one-on-one, but I already know, based on looking at their vision and looking at their gap and who they are, I already have a sense in my mind of what are the steps they need to go through to get from where they are now to where they need to be. So we can call that the bridge, or the like curriculum, right? The modules, whatever it is. Now, that being said, on a particular session, you know, if it's one particularly one-on-one or like two-on-one, something may be up in that moment that needs to be addressed that wasn't part of the overarching strategy, but I will address it and then see if I can either tie back in to the larger journey or what the relationship is. Or if at the get-go I see that it doesn't tie in, I'll just say to my client, you know, I don't think this ties in to where we want to go in order to create X, right, whatever their ultimate result is. But if this is up for you today and you want to look at it, let's look at it, right? So I'm always kind of in the moment, in the session, showing up and meeting the need, but at the same time, I'm tracking the overarching journey or strategy. Is that helpful to think of it in that way?
100% makes sense. And I think my issue is that, like, I'm still in the early phases of like my coaching and what I'm doing and like putting it all together. So it's like my 6-week jumpstart is, you know, I call myself a meditation and spiritual mentor, and I basically help people start to incorporate more meditation and spiritual tools into their lives to feel more grounded, you know, deal with anxiety, stress. So what happens is the jumpstart is people are really not meditating at all, or not prioritizing it, or they're scattered and inconsistent. And then in that like 6 to 8 week period, it's like we get them to have some sort of consistent practice that feels good to them, and it feels like it's starting to support them. So then the three months for me is like kind of what, like, I have to figure out what is next. So even tapping into like the goals and desires, I had this on my intake for my client that signed up. It was like she wants to strengthen her intuition, create better boundary control, and cultivate deeper self-compassion. So I think it's just all so vague, and I think I need to get more clarity, like, what does that look like for you? How do we measure this? And I think that's the issue.
Yes to all of that. And what I would say, Dana, is like your 6 to 8 week, maybe that's the thing that has the like predetermined results in it, because it has a curriculum, a preset curriculum. It's the entree into the work with you. It's like one of the first things that your people want. But then once they go through it, you have the conversation with them to see, like, and each person, it's going to be different what they want over the next 3 months. Like, what are their next set of goals? It's going to be probably different from person to person, and that's okay.
But is it okay for their goal to just, like, deepen my intuition?
100%. Yeah, that's back to the integration that I was talking about with Tara before, too. Like, absolutely, it's so valuable to deepen in. You know, I'm all the things that I'm, like, working on, honestly, like, in my own life, they're not new things. They're just all things that I'm, every cycle, right, I'm, like, deepening more into.
Yeah, and I guess that's where I hit, like, I guess the fear is, can I like aside from just holding them accountable to their practice. And like, I get scared that I'm not going to be able to help them achieve these things. And so I guess that's why I always want to like over rely on some like preconceived curriculum that I haven't yet created for this 3 months because I haven't had time.
Well,
but maybe
so
it's
glad that we're calling.
In.
Yeah. I'm glad that we're calling it out. And I would just direct you back to like lesson one from Sacred Depths, which is trust yourself, know that you are whole and complete exactly as you are, and know that your client is whole and complete exactly as they are, and trust the collaboration.
Okay. And then when you are creating like a new second level, do you we started, you know, with it, the holiday came. So I didn't like really prepare for our work together either. And I feel like maybe that's something I need to do. Like I just showed up on our first call and asked about goals and then we like dove in. So
well,
would you do more
preparation? I think that needs to be more formalized, right? So again, because it's going to be different for each person or group of people or group after they've been through level one.
Mm-hmm.
So take the goals that they shared from that first call and now think through what is the overarching bridge or strategy for them.
Okay. Yeah. It just happened so quick, I think, is what happened.
That's
and
okay.
Now, okay.
Yeah, that's totally fine. You can course correct 100%.
Okay. Okay. And I might post in the Facebook group. I'm still hitting up against my own fears and blocks, so I might just post some more once I work through this.
Yeah. Take like these outer actions. And then also if you have time, you have to listen to the first call of Sacred Depths again, but like go back to the worksheet for it, do the journaling on it, and then let's see what's still coming up in the inner realm for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good stuff. Okay. Stephanie.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. So I am hoping to get some support on some inner blocks that I'm feeling, which relate to my work with clients, but also just sort of my work life in general. And sort of the issue is that I feel like I get really easily super overwhelmed. And this shows up for me in my client calls, you know, where my client will start telling me something and I'm with them, but then as it becomes more and more complex and they start bringing in other pieces, I just start to feel like the sense of overwhelm and like fear that I'm going to be missing something or just like a sense of being kind of lost and confused.
Mm.
And I feel like this shows up in my work day as well. Like my office is a mess, right? I often feel overwhelmed by my surroundings and what I need to do on my to-do list, even if it's not actually that much, right? And so I find myself quite often in like this hyper anxious state. Or on the flip side, being sort of like deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
And I've developed like coping mechanisms for it, obviously. Like I still can do good work with my clients and I'm obviously like able to find my way through that somehow. But it's just a pattern that I'm seeing showing up really clearly lately. And so I'm like, what is up with that? Like why, despite my like surface desire to have clarity and calmness, and like organization, is this sort of like my default state? Does that make any sense?
It makes 100% sense.
Yeah.
Good. So let's go back to the client session.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a good starting point. So when clients start to bring in more details and more pieces and the overwhelm starts to happen,
mm-hmm.
what is the belief for you that is creating the overwhelm?
I think there's just a belief that, like, I can't hold all of this.
I can't hold all of this.
Right, but it's like, I can't hold it all, and that I can't make sense out of it.
I can't hold all of this, and I can't make sense out of all of this.
Yeah.
Where did you learn that from? Or where was that modeled for you?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like my mother is sort of the same way, that she also gets very easily overwhelmed by things. And so I definitely feel like I saw that patterned at a young age. Yeah, that's what comes to mind first anyway.
Okay. Okay, good. So first, let's just pause there and really honor the fact that if this was modeled for you from such a young age, of course it's showing up, right? It's something that has been embedded in there.
Right.
But the more that we can kind of shine a light on it, the more we can loosen it up. So let's shine a little bit more of a light on it. So the I can't handle this, I can't hold all of this, go back to that belief. And if there was like a little bit of a second part of the sentence, so I can't hold all of this because, finish that sentence.
Because it's too much.
And what constitutes too much?
I think it has something to do with like there being multiple directions to go, where like I can follow when there's like something really clearly defined, but then like my client will bring in this thing about like their childhood or like this other thing that happened, or they go off on this other tangent and it's like, okay, where do we go now? It's sort of like, it actually really reminds me of when I was a child and I would play video games, that I was really good at like side scrolling video games, but as soon as video games started to get sort of three dimensional, like it was overwhelming for me. And it feels like very similarly, like, if I know where I'm going, then I can do it. But when there's more than one choice, or there's more information, then it's hard to like navigate that.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So we'll come back to the inner piece in a moment. I want to come to, like, I want to just share a strategy piece, both for client sessions and in your everyday life, just based on what you're sharing. And then let's see where, if there's still inner pieces around there that want to be looked at for right now. But because what you're saying, I think, is actually very reasonable, right? Like, in some ways, it doesn't feel that, and I may not be hearing correctly, but in some ways, it actually, like, the more we're looking at it, like, yes, you have this modeling from your mom, and we'll get back to, like, how to work with that, but in other ways, like, it doesn't feel like, oh, my God, so deep, and, like, it's like, yeah, when there's a lot of things being presented, of course, like, how do you know where to go, right? That's reasonable to me. And so a strategy that you can use in coaching sessions when that comes up, and then we can also adapt this to like your real life, is to first of all reflect what you're hearing. So today, to the client, okay, let's pause here for a moment because I'm hearing three different things and I want to reflect them back to you. I'm hearing this, I'm hearing this, and I'm hearing this. My sense is that all three are related in some way, or that one is most important here. What are you seeing? How are they related, or what is rising to the surface as I reflect this to you?
Yeah, and that's sort of how I've managed that in client session, is I'll do exactly that. Like, I have to take notes because I the overwhelm is reflected and sort of like, if I'm just listening, stuff gets lost, but I'm really good at taking notes so that it's all on the paper. And then I can go back and reflect it. And my clients say I do that really well. So I have had success in doing that. And my concern is like, well, then why am I still feeling this way so much if I have that skill?
Mm-hmm. So I think the reason why you're feeling that way then is back to your mom. I can't handle this.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you're totally handling it.
Right.
Beautifully, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. It's like there's this old vestige of, no, but I can't handle this.
Mm-hmm.
And based on like other things that you've shared in this conversation today, it sounds like that's your MO, whether there's true overwhelm or not.
Mm. Right.
I can't handle this.
Yeah.
So, okay, if we had a full coaching session right now, I would take you through some inner pieces and somatic pieces and maybe to dialogue with your mom and, you know, like all the things. But we don't have time for that today.
Totally. Yeah, I realize it's kind of a big thing.
But I'm going to give you some homework for you to you know, even just this conversation is going to start to help, right? But I'm going to give you some other places to go with it. So number one, I want you to start tracking, Stephanie, anytime the belief arises inside of you, and it may arise as a belief or just that feeling of the overwhelm. Seven times out of ten, my guess is that it's actually not overwhelming. It's just that old feeling because of the, I can't handle this, right? But first thing, I just want you to start tracking it. Like, dedicate a page in your notebook to actually starting to track it as it comes up or at the end of the day. Because if you can start catching it now that we've had this conversation, if you can start catching it as it comes up, it's not going to be, some of the strength is going to be taken out of it. Like, it's not going to sting as much. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
That's one piece that I think would be super helpful for you to do for like at least a week or 2 weeks. The second piece is I want you to do some free form writing. So I want you to write, if possible, for 5 minutes straight without stopping. Mm-hmm. And I want you to risk the first thing that you're going to write at the top of the page that you'll just continue from is, I know that I can handle most things because.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you could do that same exercise like 3 times over the next 7 days, that would be even better.
Okay.
And it's okay if you end up writing the same things. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
And then the last thing I'll just offer, if you want, is either via visualization or journaling or ritual to maybe do a dialogue with your mom and hand this back to her.
Mm-hmm.
It is her burden to hold, and hopefully she'll release it, right? But you don't need to hold this for her to stay connected to her.
Hmm.
Are there better ways to stay connected? There's so much more to say on that last one. I know it's just like a little bit of a tease, this last exercise, but if you're getting activated and it feels juicy, just go with it and see where you want to go. Does that sound good?
Yeah. Yeah, that does. That's actually really helpful. Like, I was seeing the pattern clearly, but I wasn't really clear on what the belief was.
Hmm.
And that, yeah. Understanding that it's not mine.
Yeah.
It's helpful.
Yeah, it's not. It's just like an old tape that somehow got installed in you. That's not yours.
Totally. Because I'm like actually really good at handling stuff.
I can tell that about you.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool. Thank you.
All right, let us know how it goes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Who is this? From Delaware.
Joanna?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Kendall.
Hey, Kendall. Yay. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice, too. And I do want to call myself out. I have to catch up on the this week of, you know, Facebook Lives and stuff. It's on my calendar to do that, and I will be doing that, which I'm excited about. But it's kind of funny because I was thinking about the question I have for today, and it's around like tips you have as far as resetting the container. And the reason I'm asking that is because I have a patient in mind who just completely, it's like she fell off the face of the earth, and I'm not sure how to navigate it because I have, you know, I've reached out to her, I've sent her emails, I've called her. I'm going to call her again because when I called her the first time, she answered and said, oh, yeah, you know, things have been busy, I'll get back in touch with you. And then she never did. So I feel like I should call her again, but it's just, I mean, clearly I need to somehow reset the container with her. I really honestly have no idea what happened. And I even sent her the email, like, are you okay? Just let me know that you're okay and, like, alive and nothing's happened.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard back. And it's just so crazy. And I'm like, you know, do I do that? Is something that is being shown to me because I do it? And so, yeah, that's what I'm bringing today.
Yeah, yeah. Great question. How many sessions have you had with her in this cycle, and how many do you have left?
So we have had probably at least 10 sessions together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have like 3 or 4 more in this cycle that we're in.
Okay, great. And have you worked with her before this cycle, or is this the first time?
This is the first time.
Okay, great. And I know that you and I feel like we've spoken in the past about pre-scheduling clients. I'm assuming this client happened before we had that conversation, so that's why she's fallen off the face of the earth, because like she's not scheduled out.
Yes, yes. Although, you know, I did do some scheduling out with her, but you're right, I did not do the full scheduling out with her.
Okay, so just, you know, to emphasize, I just so recommend that. It's not foolproof, but it really does help so much.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's an important piece. And then let me just ask you another question, which is, what progress have you made with her so far, and what progress haven't you made with her so far?
So we've made a lot of progress with, you know, some of the physiologic imbalances that we identified through testing, and we've been working on those, and she's seeing improvements in, you know, like her energy and how she's feeling in general. And we were also diving into one of the things that rose to the top for her as her biggest stressor, or one of her biggest stressors, was the whole dynamic in her work situation and her work environment. And so, you know, we'd been really spending time talking about that and kind of working through that piece in sort of the context of how do we reduce or somehow change this as, you know, a major, having a major negative impact on your physical health and well-being. And we were sort of in the midst of that. And so I wondered, like, was there something around that that just got, you know, she wasn't comfortable with, or I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, well, so it's so interesting because it's like the exact topic that you were working through is the excuse why she's giving for not showing up.
Oh, really? Okay, somehow I missed that.
am I hearing that? You tell me, am I hearing that correctly? Like, you were working through her overextending and too much time and not balance and not having time for herself.
Yes.
And now
yes.
she's saying,
I
haven't been in touch with you because things are too busy and I don't have time.
Yes, got it. Okay, yes. Got it, yes.
So that's a really important connection, right?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like she's stepped a little bit into a resistance archetype. Probably you were doing really good work around this topic, but it's just that the container wasn't tight enough because the schedules weren't, they weren't scheduled out, and you were like doing good work, but because it wasn't a tight enough container, whatever triggers were there caused her to go into a resistance archetype around it.
Okay.
Does that
okay.
land for you? You know best because you know the situation, but that's what I'm hearing.
Yes, that totally lands. Absolutely.
So if that's the case, I wonder if we can kind of connect some of the dots for her in order to get her back on the phone with you.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if you I think if you should send an email. This is what I think in terms of like the email or call or whatever, but you tell me. I think you should try to call her and get her on the phone.
Okay.
But if you can't, leave her a message and let her know that you're sending her an email that you really want her to take a look at. Does that sound about right?
It does, and I was having this strong sense that I really should call her because the last attempt was an email saying, are you okay? Please just let me know,
and I
never heard back.
Yeah, so I would try to get her on the phone, but if not, leave a message and say, like, I'm thinking so much about you. I had this, like, really, I think, important insight about you, and I'm going to write you an email about it. Please check your email.
Okay.
If you get her on the phone, first just make sure she's okay, whatever, and say, you know, do you have a couple of minutes to connect? I've been thinking so much about you, and I had this light bulb moment about you, and I wanted to run it by you and see if it resonates.
I love
and
that.
And then I would share with her, you know, what we're kind of uncovered here, using all the creating awareness and reflecting the truth skills just around leaving the space to be wrong about it, right, or whatever she's going to see in it, and then see what comes up for her around it.
Okay.
If it ends up in email, same thing, just write it out and then ask it, you know, if she'd like to connect on it.
Okay. I love that. Awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you, too, for mentioning the scheduling out. Because as soon as you said that, I was like, no, I forgot to do that. Like, that is so important. And I just forgot. So, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're welcome. Good. Okay. Keep us posted. Let us know how it goes.
Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome. Gwen.
Yes. Hi.
Hey.
Hey. So I have two things that I think are connected, although it's a little fuzzy to me how they're connected. So I'll sort of put them both out. But the first is, so there's a client that I'm working with. We'd worked together a little bit. And then she contacted me in like October and said, you know, I want to do some more work. My focus is really like I want support to carve out time to not be busy. And the stuff, and you know, and there's a lot of reasons why. So we had sort of a like an exploration call in October and then set up time. And then she had to push back her start times for quite a while. And then we just started
because she was busy.
In the last couple weeks. Because she was really busy, right? And
right.
then, so my experience, so I'm holding that. I'm holding this, like, very, and she wanted to do like a little bit of a different model than I am used to, but I felt comfortable. So we had decided, okay, we're going to, she's like, I really want to do a lot of reflection. So we decided we would talk every other week. And then one of the big things is that she'd leave with questions to journal on or exercises to work on. And we touch base by email between sessions. And I was good with that. Mm-hmm. So I'm holding that intention and that structure. And we start working together. And it's not that. It's something different. And so the experience has been, for me, a lot of confusion and some frustration. She is somebody who is scattered. And I think that that's part of, feels scattered, thinks there's a lot going on for her. I don't mean that in a insulting way, but, and she says, like, I just feel like there's always, a but or an and or a next, and it's really hard to finish a thought or, like, have a conclusion. So I would like some support around this particular person. But there's a part of it that connects for me, and I'll just, I can't really tell how connected they are, but I noticed that with clients who, especially clients that I've been working with for a long time, many of my clients have stopped, like, setting their intention or creating a focus before our conversation. Even if they do the whole accountability check-in, they're like, I don't know what I want to focus on until they get in the session. Even when I say, this is really important, it gives you a time to reflect, it gets me up to speed, we use our time really powerfully to support you, all that stuff doesn't make a difference. So there's something with focus going on for me, focus in sessions.
Mm-hmm. With the second piece, do you feel like it's actually detracting from the work? Or are people able to, like, get clear on intentions when they get on the phone and ones that are aligned?
I feel good about the work that I'm doing with these people in particular. I feel good about the progress that they're making. I think they feel good about the progress they're making. I think there's an energetic sort of belief in me about meeting a client halfway, like that equal playing field piece. And so it feels very effortful. Like, it feels like they want me to give it to them or something, like tell them what we should be focusing on. And it feels very effortful to hold that space of, I'm going to let you, like grapple with what you want to receive, because that's you bringing your intention. It's like meeting a client halfway, but not, I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Because when they come, I think you are, I just want to get the full picture. So what I'm hearing, tell me if this is right, is when they're not doing the prep work and then they're coming to the call and you're asking what's the intention, and they're saying, I don't know, what do you think it should be, or what do you think we should look at?
Yeah, I feel like it takes away their power, and I want them mm-hmm. to take their power, to have that, that's part of the work that I do with everybody, is like relate to themselves as knowing what they want and being able to go for it.
When they say, I don't know, what do you think, how do you respond?
Well, I'm very intentionally, responding, and it's never that straightforward, right? It's and then they'll tell me a bunch of stuff about whatever's going on, and so my intention is to bring it back to acknowledge, to reflect, to like, yes, that's good information. What, and then ask again, to keep bringing it back until I hear a clear intention. And I don't know. Sometimes I just feel stubborn. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an active grappling situation for me in a handful of clients, not all clients. And especially with people who I think do have a lot going on in their heads, and maybe they rarely have sort of one track going on.
Yeah.
But that's kind of normal for some people, right?
100%. So there's like normal, and then there's when it like dips out of normal, which it sounds to me like for most of your clients, that's not the case. I'm not sure about that first client you were talking about, and we can circle back to her in a moment. But I do think it's normal, and I'll just say, like, from my experience, and you know I have prep forms and all of that, from my experience, if someone isn't going to do a prep, like, prep, there's no way to get them to do it. Like, they're either someone that does prep or they're someone that doesn't do prep.
Mm-hmm.
And at least so far as I have seen up until now, and I'm open if anyone else has any thoughts on this, but, like, I can't get someone to do it if they're not going to do it. Sometimes somebody won't do it, and I'll say, it will be really helpful if you do because X, Y, and Z, and then they'll start doing it, and that's great. But if they don't start doing it after that, they will never do it, except for maybe every now and again, and it's like a big celebration. So that's the one thing. I don't think it's out of the realm of, you know, there are just some people that aren't going to do it, and I have not figured out how to get them to do it.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
I'm a person who does my prep forms. And so partly
I know that's what I was going to say. Like, you are so organized and, like, you do value prep. And so I wonder if that's, well, okay, before I get to that piece, the other piece I wanted to say is sometimes if you really set the container with it, it can help. So in, like, that first call with someone, I'll spend the first 5 or 10 minutes going over housekeeping, logistics, all of that, and I will really emphasize the preform and why I use it, and I explain why it's important and all the things. And I do think that does help some people.
Yeah.
Oh, but so all that being said, Gwen, what you said exactly is what I was thinking, is, like, you are the person. Like, you're a straight-A student when it comes to that, and it really works for you. But I think it's also part of your filter. Like, I think it's how you approach the world and who you are, and I wonder if that's what's causing some of the internal struggle for you. For the people that don't or don't know when they come to a call what they want, because there's something I might not be hearing, but what I think I heard you say is that ultimately the work is good and they're getting what they need and you are focusing on the quote-unquote right things, whatever that means. But it's like there's something about it that's triggering for you, even though it's working, and it doesn't feel like I'm not hearing you overgiving. I'm just hearing you holding someone's hand in a coaching session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's helpful to hear, like, oh, this is – I don't know about with the client that I was describing.
Yeah, I want to get back to her because she may be a different case. But let's just focus on everyone else first.
But, yeah, I do think that there's – I do think it's part of I'm like, why would somebody pay for a session that they don't prepare for? Like, unless there's, you know, dire circumstance, but that's my filter, right? That's that's my experience of what valuable is.
So I want you to check that filter more, and, you know, but go ahead.
Yeah, and it is good to hear that I don't want to relate to my clients as like, I don't want to hold their hand. But, I mean, I want to support them. I want to partner with them. But I want to relate to them as powerful and capable. I think that energetic is really important, a really important part of the work that I'm doing. So I think what I heard you say is you don't think that I'm holding their hand in a...
I don't think you're over holding their hand. I think that their process is different than your process. And you've given me no indication to think that they are disempowered in any way.
Yeah. It's tricky, though, because for some people, disempowered is actually more comfortable.
True. Agreed. So if that's the case, if you suspect that is the case, I would take it client by client, like case by case. It could be valuable to just open up that conversation and ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
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 Now, the first client, now, this is not my area of expertise, but I will say, as you were describing her and talking about, like, not being able to finish sentences and, like, having so many strands and this and that, it made me wonder about, like, ADD, which wouldn't even be on my radar, except for Marcy has done a lot of research around this over the last year and coaching ADD. And it sounds, just the little that you described, I don't know, I just wanted to toss that out there.
No.
My
daughter has ADD, so I've learned a lot about it. And I've been
so you're not seeing any of those.
I am, but I'm not, that's not my, I'm not trained in that. And it's like similar to like if a client was, you know, there's a point at which you would say to a client, you know, have you considered going to a therapist? But it doesn't feel like that. Like we haven't reached a point where I would say, have you considered, or I would suggest seeking a professional.
That may be something, right, because that is part of a coach's job, is if we sense that there's something outside of the scope of coaching that's impacting the coaching, to strategize around that. So, you know, and you already know more about it than I do since, I'm sure, just because of your kids. So if you're seeing some of what you think might be, I know it can sometimes be an uncomfortable conversation to have with a client, but it might be important to do that. And then the other piece is I actually feel like Marcy has come upon some book or resource for coaches around this. I could be totally making that up, but I don't think I am. It might be worth asking her if you want, I can ask her.
Yeah, no, I could reach out to her.
Yeah, she's definitely done a deep dive into this.
Okay.
But outside of that, or whatever is like not in the scope, when you think about this client, are there strategies that you sense might be helpful for her?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is, I think there's a filter piece that is the piece that I need support with. So the strategy, she missed her last session, back and forth, a date. She's like, I really need stuff in writing. Like we, you know, whatever. So I sent her this, you know, okay, Roger that, stuff in writing. So that's the strategy. And when I wrote to her, I said, you know, it may, maybe given what I'm hearing you want, which is, you know, different than our original conversation, you know, having a closer, having like a tighter container, more frequent sessions might support you, or it also might help you to, you do some thinking about, to write down, try to clarify what are your goals and then what are sort of the different pieces that you might, that we might work on together that relate to that. So just to try to help her like string the pieces together again, because her request was to do a lot of the work in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't gotten a reply, and I don't know, that's the best strategy. That was my best next, you know, whatever it's offering. But I think it's like, I don't want to be, so my filter or my inclination is to be, when somebody is very scattered and I want to be in service, I think I can get rigid or like directive, and I don't want to do that. I don't know how to walk that line. Like in my world, that is, it would be in service of her to to get somewhere at the end of the conversation, feel like I knew what I wanted and this is what I received, as opposed to just opening many more doors.
So if the MO is to get rigid, what if you were to get more structured.
Mm-hmm.
What, well, first just kind of like close your eyes. I don't know, this may or may not be helpful, but let's see. Close your eyes and mm-hmm. feel the rigid reaction inside of you. Can you feel it?
Mm-hmm.
What does it feel like?
Well, I'm just going to jump ahead because I think I know where you're going.
Okay.
Sorry. So the difference is yeah. that rigid feels like I'm isolating in a way, like I'm doing it myself, mm-hmm. and structure would feel like we're doing it together, like we're sharing a structure.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. So close your eyes and feel that we're doing it together, structure, and I'll even add like loving and compassionate structure.
Yeah, for sure.
Together in there. So close your eyes and actually move yourself into that energetic state. We're doing it together, loving and compassionate structure. Can you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so from this place, and just continue to feel that in your body, how would you want to approach this client strategically when she is scattered?
Well, if I could create it all,
mm-hmm.
if I could create it all, I would want to have a conversation with her to get clear anew, like given that what was true in October is no longer what is true,
mm-hmm.
what is it that she wants to create, and then what is our structure, and create a little co-create, pretty
yeah.
clear structure with her, probably more than I would with a different client.
Yeah.
Including like we're really going to pause at the what do you want to receive, and we're going to connect the dots back to, how it relates to one of your major intentions for the work together and so on and so forth. And then like close it at the end, like in a very deliberate way.
Yeah.
And then I guess, if that were true, if we had had that partnership piece, then it would be easier in the moment of, bunny trails to say, to check. Somebody on the call earlier that, mentioned this, of to say like, okay, how, I'm hearing you say this and this, can you help me connect the dots? Like, how does
right.
this, does
how
this connect? How
right.
does this connect?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does this
so,
move forward? Whatever.
So I really like the strategy. It may not, it may be a coaching session, but it may just need to be an extra half hour that you give her to reset.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know better what's what,
mm-hmm.
but that's,
yeah,
you know, I would try to get her. And then I think you have all the outer pieces you described, yes. And then your other piece of work is before getting on the phone, I think just close your eyes, bring yourself back into the we're doing this together, loving and compassionate structure, energy, because I think that will just have it feel more easeful for you as you step in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good stuff.
Okay.
All right. I've got Inbal and Tammy, and if you guys have the time, I'm going to get to both of you. So, Inbal.
Hi, Joanna and everyone. I do want to say, Gwen, I'm happy to talk with you at least, like, on the ADD stuff, because Marcy and I were communicating about it as well. But yeah, my question is, I kind of wish I had something more like deep and profound, but I'm also having a container thing. So this is a client I've been working with for like a year and a half, and the container wasn't great in terms of like how we scheduled the last session and the, the second to last session. So like, and when we did have our last session, she hadn't like read the offerings. So, and she's just like really doesn't know whether she wants to continue. And so one of her concerns is like, I don't want to continue if I can't be committed. So it's like, I've laid out for her, like the offerings, what I see is possible for her. I followed up. You know, I even called her and was like, even though she's in Italy, and was just like, hey, I just wanted to check in. It's like, I need more time and I just don't know. And so then yesterday I WhatsApped her and I was like, look, like, I love you. I'm here. If you want to start now, if you want to start in January, if you want to take a break, like, you know, just like you're the expert on like what you need. And then she wrote back and she was like, I'm sorry, like, I don't, she was like, thanks for your patience. I'm still trying to decide what I want and need and cannot quite take a decision. I promise I will let you know. I'm sorry for this. So now it's like she's feeling bad.
Yeah, so we don't want her to feel bad.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that part in a second. Yeah, and like as you're talking, and I think this relates so much to what Gwen was bringing forward to, is like, you know, we don't want to be rigid, right? And I sometimes fall into that thinking myself, like, you know, their decision-making process has to take this amount of time. They have to let me know by now, this day, the rule, right? Like, and in some ways, of course, we do need some of those structures. But then in other ways, like, sometimes people do need incubation time for things. And, you know, even back to, I feel like, a theme that the call started with Leah is, like, I think that coaching sometimes can be, or like the old definition of coaching can sometimes be way more rigid than like human nature accounts for or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I might be, tell me if I'm making any sense here. But like as I'm hearing you talk, like my inclination is I think you've done all of the right things to hold the space for her and the structure. And like she may just legitimately need a little more time to feel into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. And I also like, right, part of me saying, right, there's me saying like, hey, like, take your time. And then, you know, and then there's like me following up, which may be like against, like that my actions are not the same
not
as what
if
I'm
you
saying, but I have given her space.
Yeah. So I think it's just about pre-qualifying that you're going to be following up.
So then the one thing, oh, right, so I can, when I respond, and I guess, like, that the other thing is that, like, I don't want her to feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
I'm checking in with
so
her to hold some sort of container. And,
right.
Yeah, so how do I, yeah, so I want to,
so
like,
I would
genuinely
just, I would
be like,
totally
hey, take
just,
your time.
Exactly, and I would just be transparent, just say, like, you thanks so much for your reply, and you know, things can be weird on email. I could be totally off, but I feel like almost like you feel bad. And if I made you feel bad in any way, not at all. I want to give you space. And at the same time, I will just continue to follow up so I can hold the container for you to make an aligned decision. No matter what you ultimately end up deciding, I don't want you to just let this drift away. I want you to make an empowered decision. So I'll just keep on following up if that's okay with you.
So it's like, you take your time, I'm going to do my part, and like, yeah, it's all good between us.
That's my sense.
Yeah, like I'm not upset
unless you think
or, you know.
Storming out of the decision because of resistance. And always there's a
I mean,
little
I feel like it's like,
obviously.
Right, she's, yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, the issue is that she's like, I can't do this if I can't, like, actually commit to it. And I'm like, doing this will help you commit to yourself rather than, like, everybody else.
Yeah, so I would just also reiterate that in the notes. And maybe along with that reiteration, also just say, like, sometimes we can mess ourselves up because, we think the commitment needs to be a perfect commitment.
Right,
when really we can, you know, commit to something 70% and still get the value out of it.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. All right. And Tammy.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Good to hear your voice again today.
Yeah. So I'm piggybacking on some of the stuff we spoke about this morning, and I'm like at the head of my shoulders because I'm not running around with my kids. So in regards to the mentorship and this idea of kind of starting, even though it's not fully presentable, it is presentable, it's just not completely a plan. If the idea is it's a 9-month container, so if I started, there's a few questions. So if I started now with parts of it, would this be the start of the 9-month container?
Now, meaning right now?
No, I mean, like, say I speak with the acupuncturist this week and she's down with it, and we say we're going to start, you know, next week or whatever day we decide. Would the 9-month container start there, even though, like, we're not fully stepping into all the pieces of the mentorship?
I think so.
She's going to be paying, right? So, like,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, yes. Or it may be that it ends up being 9.5 months, you know, and, like, the second part of December is just that half. But, yeah, I mean, either way, you're starting.
And then basically, like, the parts are that they get monthly sessions with me. They get training calls, which will start right away. A group practicum lab where we work together. A retreat around the wheel of the year. Moon circles, get shit done days. VIP days, which they get two. And hands-on mentorship, I'm known throwing stuff out at you. So in my mind, what I can handle right now with my crazy life is they can definitely get private sessions, and we can definitely do monthly hands-on, because that's kind of the juice of what I'm trying. I'm trying to get them up to a place where I feel comfortable referring clients to them.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm thinking is, like, we can kind of just start with those two, and other things will kind of come as they're more clear.
I mean, monthly circles, too, because you're already doing those.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd say
and
start
I could probably,
with that.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then,
don't add
okay. All right, I think that's all my brain can handle as far as.
Good. But no. But I'm glad you asked, because, yeah, like we were saying earlier, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. And I think this is a good middle ground place where they can really see results and get what they need without you putting yourself out.
Okay.
And it can always shift and evolve, you know, be after this.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay. You're welcome. All right, everyone, thank you for such a great call and such great questions and all of your presence, whether you brought something forward or not. Thinking about all of you, let me know what you need, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.